Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Let's do the Oklahoma Sooners this week on the Spring Preview Series. Eddie Radosovich joins us, Soonerscoop.com, loyal member of the Bunky Perkins Fan Club, as am I. We love the Bunkster. Oklahoma did not love its first year in the SEC.
No, it did not.
The only segue I could come up with there. You watch college football. You've watched a ton of it. You know what the SEC is. In your opinion, what was Oklahoma lacking the most in year one here in the conference?
An offense. That seems to be the toughest one to get. No, it was a rough year. Obviously, they've taken some steps defensively, and I think that was expected under Brent Venables. But last year, I don't think that anybody could have planned, A, for just the offense as a whole to be as inept as it was. I mean, we're talking about a fan base that's been used to offenses that, you know, historically have been fantastic. I mean, some of the best offenses in the history of college football over the last, recent decade. And to take the step back that they did just as a whole, the promotion, if you will, of Seth Luttrell did not work out for Brent Venables. They wanted to keep some continuity after, Jeff joined you guys down in Starkville. And it was kind of bad from the get-go. They had a bunch of injuries at the wide receiver position. They're still kind of trying to dig themselves out of that. And then I don't think that anybody could have expected the, just flat out poor play that they got at the quarterback position and Jackson Arnold. So, I hope the best for Jackson. Always liked covering him and everything. But, I think that there is a little bit of a renewed belief that they can take the step in the right direction with John Mateer and Ben Arbuckle. And I think that a lot of what Oklahoma is going to be in 2025 is going to be kind of predetermined or determined on what those guys can bring to an offense that truly was probably one of the worst offenses that Oklahoma's put on the field in the modern history of Oklahoma football. So it was from the get-go, even going back a year ago at this time, it was, the offense is having struggles, they're turning the ball over, they can't block anybody. And, I think a lot of times during the spring, you put that to the side and you say, they'll figure it out at some point. Right. They never figured it out a year ago.
I wasn't going to ask you about this, but then you brought up his name and it just clicked with me. Do you think Jackson Arnold will be successful at Auburn?
I do. I think that he's going to have to take that next step. And I don't know if it's a mentality thing. I think last year, a lot of what happened early was he lost a lot of confidence and he looked like, go with a cliche, he looked like a deer in headlights at times. They couldn't block anybody. The offensive line was terrible. So kind of from the get-go, from the first game, really, he was thrown into a situation where I didn't think he was going to have to excel. With that said, he wasn't good. There were guys open at the beginning of the season, and he was missing them, and then he started throwing interceptions and started turning the ball over, and that's what ultimately got him benched in the Tennessee game. So I think he can. I mean, the drop-off from the guy that I saw four or five times as a senior in high school at Denton Guyer was not the guy that we saw a year ago. And I guess that you're going to have to kind of wonder if he doesn't find some success, if he doesn't have some early confidence boosting plays, where does that thing go? Because I think that, you just reading the tea leaves on things that are coming out of Oxford, from Auburn, it seems like, still turning the ball over a little bit. You're going to have to be able to fight that off and get off that injury bug or the turnover bug if you want to be able to have a really good quarterback in this league.
Well, you hit on it with John Mateer. I mean, that guy, his stats last year, absolutely fantastic at Washington State. And I don't think people realize what a good runner he is. 800 yards rushing, double-digit touchdowns. He feels like he's a perfect fit for what Oklahoma wants to do offensively. But as you mentioned, do the Sooners have the pieces in place around him now for him to be successful?
The offensive line is going to be better. I think that, they were forced to play some guys a year ago. Two of those guys, and Heath Ozaida at left guard and left tackle Logan Howland, are sitting out spring after having some cleanup on their shoulders here during the early onset of the year, January, right after the season got over. So they feel like they are headed in the right direction from an offensive line standpoint. Michael Pasusi, a heralded top 25 guy coming in from last year's group. One of the best offensive tackles in the country has stepped in, getting good play here early. I think he's kind of exceeded high expectations, as well as Ryan Foje. They have some guys coming back from last year. Troy Everett was a center that, he was injured at the beginning of the year. He got hurt on like the first day of spring ball last year. Really kind of the leader of that group. They're getting Jacob Sexton back from an injury that he sustained down in Oxford. So they feel like this offensive line could be pretty good. They went out and got a couple guys in the transfer portal that have added a little bit of depth. Derek Simmons from Western Carolina, as well as Luke Baklenko from Stanford. So you feel pretty good about it. The wide receiver unit was kind of the big question mark going into spring, and they went out and they got a kid named Javonte Gibson from Arkansas Pine Bluff, made some waves. They felt like he was going to be a guy that, really through the onset, they just entered their first week, their final week of spring practice, felt like he was going to be a guy. Like he had really made a name for himself. He broke his leg on Monday in Oklahoma's, I guess, third to last practice of spring. So it's going to be kind of a wait and see. Does he have to have surgery? How quickly can you get him back? It's a wide receiver unit that they went through it a year ago at the end at injuries, and it seems like they just can't catch a break. Might have to have a little bit of a seance or something to get that thing right for Emmett Jones's group. But they have some talent. It's just going to be a matter of how much better can John Mateer make these guys around him. And I think that that's going to be a big question mark. I think they're going to probably still be active in the spring portal when that opens a week from Wednesday on the 16th, just to see if they can get another running back, get maybe more of a home run threat guy. A tight end is certainly a position that has taken a step back in recent years. They lose Devon Mitchell. He enters the transfer portal. And I think that that's probably best for both parties involved, for him to move on, find a new home, as well as Oklahoma move on and find somebody that could be a contributor in 2025. So, I think the as kind of dark as it is, the sick kind of thing that we keep saying around here is offensively, it can't get much worse than it was a year ago. So anything is better than what they were a year ago.
Defensively, I know Brent Venables is taking the reins back, which is something as a head coach I always wonder about sometimes. Like that feels like a desperation move sometimes. But Venables is an elite defensive play caller, so I'm not against that. The question I have for this: production is one thing to replace; leadership is another. Danny Stutzman has been a stud for the Oklahoma Sooners for so long, and now he's gone. Who steps into that role to lead this defense?
Yeah, I kind of think that, just real quick on the Brent Venables thing, I think that, like, as you're going into 2025, and if you're coaching for your job as Brent is, he's one of those guys that I might as well be doing it. And we talked to some of the players, some of these leaders that you were asking about. And none of them were surprised that Brent ultimately named himself the head coach after flirting with Jim Knowles a little bit before he ended up at Penn State. So, I would start in the middle. I think you look at somebody like a Kobe McKenzie. He's kind of been the heir apparent behind Danny Stutzman for the last couple years here in Norman, and it seems like this is kind of his moment. Sammy Omosigo is another one of those guys. R. Mason Thomas, defensive end returning, could end up being one of the premier edge rushers in the country. Had a fantastic season a year ago after really kind of having setbacks on the injury front his first couple seasons in Norman. Gentry Williams is a defensive back that would probably be looked at as the leader in that group. He just has to be able to stay healthy, and he is coming off of season-ending shoulder surgery a year ago. So they have a good core of leadership, and I think that the one thing that you can say, as up and down as Brent Venables' first 3 years in Norman has been, is they have a pretty good culture in place. So I don't think that there's anybody too terribly worried about replacing that leadership. But you're right. I mean, what they're replacing from a contribution standpoint, from a production standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, with Danny Stutzman, he's been the guy in the middle of that Oklahoma defense over the last 3 years, and it's going to be kind of fun, or maybe even kind of scary, to see how they're able to replace him here moving forward.
We've mentioned a couple of transfers. Are there any freshmen to keep an eye on that you've got up there in the spring right now?
Wide receiver Elijah Thomas, a kid out of Shakota, Oklahoma, which is kind of right in eastern Oklahoma, right on the Oklahoma-Arkansas border, He was a guy. We do YouTube shows every week, kind of just recapping all the commits, and we call it the recruiting report, where every guy is, and who was the outstanding performer. It seemed like every week we were doing a, this is what Elijah Thomas did. These are the gaudy numbers that he put up. He's had a really good spring. I think that he's going to be looked upon as somebody that is going to have to contribute, maybe even earlier than expected, because of somebody like a Javonte Gibson going down this spring. I think that the transfer market has been very kind to Oklahoma, going out and getting Kendall Daniels, a kid coming in from just up the road in Stillwater, played for Oklahoma State the last couple of years. He's going to fit into that cheetah role that Oklahoma has used. And, Brent Venables kind of made famous with an Isaiah Simmons, if you will, at Clemson. So very excited about him. Very excited about Marvin Jones Jr. I think he's going to start opposite side of R. Mason Thomas at the other edge or at the other end position. Comes in from Florida State, was a heralded high school recruit, probably hasn't had the type of college career that he expected to have. But he enters into a situation that should be pretty comfortable for him, on the opposite side of R. Mason Thomas. So those are guys that are definitely kind of looked upon as guys that are going to come in and step in from day one. Courtland Guillory's made a little bit of noise, cornerback out of the Houston area, that might have to end up being somebody that plays a little bit, adds a little bit of depth to that cornerback room. And, I think the one thing that we can't say about Jay Vilas is he's not scared to throw out a freshman. We saw what Eli Bone was able to do a year ago in playing kind of that opposite role or that opposite side of the corner or the field position. So they have a good mix. It's always kind of one of those things like, do you really believe what's coming in out of spring practice as opposed to what actually happens when they start 2-a-days or when they start fall practice in August? I think we'll kind of take a wait and see approach, but I do think that those are the guys that would be looked upon, and then you throw in a Michael Pastuzzi or Ryan Foje on the offensive line, and I think that they have a pretty good freshman group that should be able to contribute in 2025.
Two power programs meeting in week two, and two programs that coming off of years where they didn't have the kind of year they expect to
Sure.
have at those schools. Is there a bigger swing game for a season ever for Oklahoma than this one with Michigan? Are we going to learn everything we need to know right there?
For so many years, I think that everybody kind of looks at the non-conference and you go, all right, we'll find out about this team more when you
Right.
get into the later portions of September. But yeah, I think that like for everything that's going into this season and knowing how tough that SEC schedule is going to be at the end of the road when you get to conference play, yeah, you got to win that, especially a home game against a Michigan opponent that is going to bring a lot of eyeballs, a lot of intrigue into what Brent Venables' just tenure is going to be. I think a lot determines is going to be determined, I guess, on that second weekend when Michigan rolls into town, and it's going to be kind of interesting if they end up starting the true freshman out of Louisiana, if he's going to end up being the guy against a defense that I think Oklahoma fans feel like isn't going to take just a massive drop off. With all the guys that they did lose, whether it be a Billy Bowman or a Danny Stutzman from a year ago, Ethan Downs should get drafted here in a couple of weeks with what he was able to do up in Indianapolis. Yeah, I mean it's a massive, massive game in the second week of college football in Norman. It's going to be I think a lot of Oklahoma fans are going to be a little bit, I don't know about fearful, but maybe excited to see what Jon Matier and Ben Arbuckle can do against a really good Michigan defense.
Why is Oklahoma playing at Temple?
We just want to go get free cheesesteaks and throw it. No, I have no idea. I think
We've
it
been
ended
talking about that a
up
lot.
being,
Like, why?
I think it was a home at home. And, Temple came here last year. So they're returning the visit from like a just a unique kind of college football experience. Who
Huh?
knows what to expect at the link in the first couple weeks of September in Philadelphia. So don't think that the weather should be pretty good. Kind of excited about it. I love Philadelphia. I've been up there a couple times, so it should be fun. I don't know.
So that's one of the
Just
weirdest.
scheduling wins, Brian. They're just scheduling wins. They need wins at any
I get it. I get it.
point.
Mississippi State thought they were doing that last year when they went to Tempe, and how did that turn out? So
Sure,
you never
sure.
know. All right, the last question is the same one I'm asking everybody on these spring previews. It's April the 9th as we're recording. Last game of the season for Oklahoma is November 29th. They'll host LSU. Is that the first time Tigers come into Norman? It's got to be, right?
Yeah,
That'll
it
be
was
awesome.
they'd played at Tiger Stadium a year ago.
Yeah. What is it? What are we talking about on that day when that game is over? What is this Oklahoma team? Are we talking about a turnaround for Brent Venables, or are we talking about, well, we might have to be having a coaching search?
I mean, just to stay away from the negativity, because I think anything that's out there right now with particularly the men's side of athletics in the SEC hasn't been a positive. It hasn't been a great experience so far. Hopefully it's talking about a fantastic turnaround and maybe getting to 8 or 9 wins. And if you could get there with this schedule and with what they're being asked to do and kind of a reimagination of an offense, I think that you would be talking about certainly Brent Venables returning for a fifth year, but I think you would be talking about bigger expectations for 2026. I know that that's kind of a depressing way to look at it, but this is a very fascinating year for Oklahoma football, entering the second year in the SEC and obviously coming off of a 6-7 year that for the second time in 3 seasons, I guess just to put it bluntly, hasn't been acceptable in Norman. And it's a coach that is definitely coaching for his job going into 2025, which makes for a fascinating candor in the offseason here over the next couple months as things
Absolutely.
ramp up into August.
Eddie, we have to wait another year before a Bulldogs and Sooners matchup, but we will get there eventually. I'll make it to Norman. You'll come to Starkville one way or
Fingers
the other.
crossed.
There you
Fingers
go.
crossed. Zach Selman's always like, come down, we'll put you up over at duty over in the left field
You
apartment.
would have a good time. No question about it.
Absolutely.
We'll get you down here very soon. Eddie Radosovich, Soonerscoop.com, man. Appreciate your time.
Anytime. Appreciate it.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.